We're looking at the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. We already covered part of it. Proverbs 20, beginning at verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers weights and divers measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his deeds, by whether what he does is pure and right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Last time we covered as far as verse 9 in Proverbs 20. So we come to verse 10. Divers weights and divers measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. That is, the accusing finger is pointed to those who practice shifting standards. That is the flaw here, divers weights and divers measures. It's a symbol of duplicity and of dishonesty, and it is an abomination to the Lord. We're living in a world where there are shifting values. There is no absolute standard. And to this, the Torah speaks in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13. You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things and all who behave unrighteously are an abomination to the Lord your God. There is this principle of relative values is also a spiritual fault. The Lord Yeshua himself spoke about these shifting values, how people will adjust values to suit their likes and their dislikes. A couple of centuries ago, if a person was caught stealing, they hung him. Today, it's the opposite extreme, and excuses are made for the thief. And the society we live in today has shifting values. Let's look at Matthew 23, verses 1 to 3. Then Yeshua spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. This shifting scale of values applies also to spiritual values. The Pharisees were the recognized interpreters of the law of Moses. And the Lord Yeshua told his disciples and to the multitude, when they are quoting Moses, listen to them and do what they say. Because it's not they who are speaking, it is Moses who is speaking. But don't do according to their works. That is, they say and do not. Do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. These are abomination to the Lord, and weights and measures apply to persons and to practice, where different people receive different measures of correction. Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. The motto of the Pharisees was, do not do as I do as I say. These are the things we are to avoid in our lives to make sure that we are consistent in our daily walk with the Lord and with our fellow men. Verse 11, even a child is known by his deeds, by whether what he does is pure and right. There's no such thing as a child born without sin. David says, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're all born sinners, all showing from our earliest days our duplicity. Even a child is known by his deeds, by whether what he does is pure and right. There are various children in Scripture mentioned. There's Samuel, there's David, there's Timothy, there's Yeshua himself. Children who, on the whole, they are well behaved, they're recognized, they are not sinless, but they are recognized as being good children. Their deeds show it. In the case of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 26, the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. There's no such thing as a child that is sinless, but there's a distinction made between children who are habitually good, regularly obedient, and those who are rebellious. A contrast is found in the first book of Kings, chapter 14. The king of Israel was Jeroboam, and his son Abijah was suffering from a mortal illness. The king sent his wife, the queen to the prophet to inquire whether the child would live or not. And the message the prophet gave to her was a message of judgment. But there was an exception made with one of his children. 1 Kings 14, verse 11. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken it. Arise therefore, go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. God saw there was a trace of goodness to be found in this child Abijah. God saw some good intentions which his illness prevented him from carrying out, and God rewarded him according to the intentions of his heart. He is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. So he was spared. He was known by his intentions. God, who reads the hearts, saw in this child's heart good intentions towards God, and therefore God decreed that the child should die in peace. Samuel, David, Timothy, Yeshua, they all showed by their deeds. In the case of Yeshua, the only sinless son, the only sinless person to be born in this world. But of David we read that he was a man after God's own heart, and Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy was one of those children who by his deeds was known to be pure and right, commendable. By contrast, there are the children of Bethel. When Elisha was returning from the river Jordan, after having seen his master Elijah taken up into heaven, as Elisha approached the city of Bethel, the children came out and mocked him and taunted him and said, go up, thou bald head. They had words of mockery, and their deeds showed that what they did was not pure and not right, and they inherited a curse. The tree is known by its fruit. Verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. The hearing ear refers to an obedient child. The seeing eye is the one who has spiritual perception. The Lord has made both of them. As parents, we pray for our children that God will give them seeing eyes and hearing ears and understanding hearts. Moses, when he was called to go to Egypt, begged to be excused from having to go. O Lord, he said, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, neither since thou hast spoken to thy servant. God's response in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Our prayer as parents is that God will give our children seeing eyes and hearing ears and understanding hearts, that the tree will be known by its fruit, and that their trend will be the opposite of that which the psalmist spoke about in the Psalms. The wicked goes astray as soon as he is born, speaking lies. This is something we pray our children may be saved from. Verse 13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. Sleep is a gift from God, but it has to be used wisely and in a controlled way. Do not love sleep lest you come to poverty. That poverty could be either material poverty or spiritual poverty. David loved his sleep too much. We read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. He loved his sleep too much, and where one look was defiling, the second look was damning. It resulted in evil thoughts. Lust was aroused in his heart, and from that lust, a multitude of sins and miseries came upon David and upon his family. Lest thou come to poverty, David was left spiritually poor, and ever after it haunted him, but things were never the same again for David. And the warning here is, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Proverbs 24 speaks of a material poverty. Proverbs 24, verse 33 and 34. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so your poverty will come like a prowler, and your want like an armed man. I'm sure we've all fallen, we're all at fault where this is concerned, and our prayer ought to be that God would help us to achieve a balance in our lives so that we will know how much rest we really need. Open your eyes and you'll be satisfied with bread. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Verse 14 of Proverbs 20. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. This speaks of haggling, the practice of haggling, well known in the Middle East and the Far East, where people will argue and debate and make out that they're paying too much for that which they're buying. The hagglers, the buyer says, it is good for nothing. In other words, I'm doing you a favor by throwing away my riches on you, but I'll take it just the same. And when he goes his way, then he boasts and says to his friends, see what a deal I got. He departs with his purchase. Abraham was bargaining for a burial place for his wife Sarah. We read about it in Genesis 23. Abraham needed a burying place in a hurry. Therefore, expense was no object. Genesis 23 at verse 12. Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, if you will give it, please hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, my lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he had made in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. That was a swinging price that Ephron quoted for the burial cave for Sarah and for the patriarchs. But Abraham was not in the mood to bargain, and he let Ephron have whatever he asked so that he could bury his dead. In haggling, there's a certain amount of dishonesty, and the Torah addresses that situation in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, verse 11. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. That is, misquoting the price, or charging too much, or not paying enough to what it is worth. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. Ephron says to Abraham, it's a trifle. Why bother to argue about it? Take it, I give it to you freely. But after Abraham was gone, Ephron had matters to boast how much richer he was by the deal. Verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Gold and rubies are compared and contrasted to the lips of knowledge. Gold and rubies are valuable, precious, refined by fire, good for outward adorning and for outward riches. But there is something by contrast that is even more valuable and rare, and where gold and rubies cannot be mentioned even. There's gold and a multitude of rubies. A person who adorns himself with gold and rubies is admired of men. But the one who has the lips of knowledge has the true treasure. That is the treasure hidden in the field, which when a man found, he went and sold all that he had, that he might have that treasure in the field. The lips of knowledge are worth more than any earthly riches. In Psalm 119, David says, the words of thy mouth are worth more than thousands of gold and of silver. A precious jewel, because the one with true knowledge has got the true treasure, as we read in Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, Messiah speaks. It's the voice of Messiah in chapter 50 and verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Messiah had the true knowledge. Our last verse is found in Psalm 45. Psalm 45. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. The King there is the King Messiah. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. True treasure is found in the knowledge of the truth. Our Lord Yeshua prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. May God grant to us all to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him, the Father, and Yeshua HaMashiach, whom he sent to be our Redeemer. The people in his synagogue at Nazareth wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. May God grant that we may continue to develop our understanding of God's truth and of God's words. Shall we pray? Loving Father, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God and Messiah, Yeshua, whom you have sent. Grant this saving knowledge to everyone here today. Bless and seal your truth to our minds and to our hearts, that we may go on our way rejoicing, saying that we have found the pearl of greatest price. We ask it in the Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.